Well, good morning. Good morning. It's really nice to be here. This feels, I mean, it's been a long time. It's almost been 10 years, 9.5 years that we've been gone. And I'll talk about that in just a second, but it's really nice to see you all. It feels very familiar on a lot of levels. Maybe it's the carpet that you guys haven't changed yet. Like, maybe that's what we should really be talking about here. Maybe it's because some of you are sitting all in the same place for 10 years. Not pointing any fingers, but kind of like this side over here, the back. Anyways, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be here. So we came because we heard about you had a potluck today. And then they said, hey, while you're here, do you want to speak a bit? We said, no, anyways, it's great to be here. I'm thankful for this opportunity. And part of coming around is we've been going to a few places to share with you something that we've been growing and building. And part of me coming here, or us coming here today, is just this sense of some of it actually started within my own thinking, started while we were here in the different partnerships that we had. And so I just thought it would be right to just, maybe it's an update, maybe it's, hey, this is what's going on, but just to let you know things that are going on where the church, the people of God are working, moving in our world. And so I want to share with you something that we've been building and growing in Winnipeg, and then also share a bit of a challenge that's coming out of that. For the past 6 years, we've been building a church community in the downtown Winnipeg at 188 Princess, that we call 188. And it's a community, it's a distinct community, or it's a unique community. But one of the things that makes it unique is that it gives particular space for those who exist at the margins of our society. And so it's a community that seeks to show love for others, to proclaim a hope in Christ, and to help people find purpose, help ourselves, each other, find purpose in life. And so we foster this diverse community, idealistic enough to believe that people from all walks of life, from socioeconomically, different places on the faith journey, people from all walks of life can journey well together in life. Because I think the reality is for many within society and also within the church, sharing in life with people at the margins is challenging. And yet we believe, as Marcia read from 2 Corinthians, we believe that we're called as ambassadors of reconciliation. And so we need to find ways to create space for people to encounter Jesus. And so creating space, particularly for people who live at the margins of society, means we spend time with individuals who find themselves caught in cycles of addictions, poverty, generational trauma, mental illness. One of the biggest things we've come to appreciate and understand is that as much as we can stereotype someone who's homeless or an addict or someone stuck in poverty, etc., come to understand that there's a commonality to our humanity. God's love that we proclaim so freely, God's love is for all, regardless of where you are ethnically, socioeconomically, whatever. And the need for God is for all, regardless of where you fall on whatever ladder we like to create as a society. So we've learned that we're all kind of journeying together and really seeking to get rid of those barriers that those us-them barriers that we tend to create as people. Journeying towards a better life, a life that's centered on Christ and a life that's lived in community with others. And the interesting thing is that we discover that it's not just about serving, but that we actually need each other, which is one of the beautiful things we discover. And so we use this language of getting beyond charity. There are many organizations, just as there are here, many organizations that do a beautiful job. And so it's really neat. I don't think maybe you did plan it. I don't know. That the coldest night thing, because it's going on, obviously. It's cold in Winnipeg too, by the way. But that reality, you know, that's thing that it's something that very much impacts what's going on. And so we work with organizations that do a beautiful job of providing services for people. And so we're working in such a way not to duplicate, because I don't think we need to do that, but to come alongside, to complement other agencies. And we believe that we're trying to provide a safe place for a person who can live a life that's beyond charity. So they've received food, they've received clothing, they've received shelter even. So what now? What now? How do we get out of that cycle? To hear something different about themselves, to start to believe something different about themselves, a different narrative, so to speak. And so we seek to do that. We call it a community living room kind of thing. It's a place where a person is known and where a person's story can be heard and where we're present with each other and praying with each other through the best and the worst of times. And so 188 began as a ministry of Eastview Community Church, which is where when I left here, that's where we went. And after 6 years of growing, it became clear that 188 was getting beyond what Eastview on its own it was bigger than simply a ministry of Eastview. And so our provincial conference, the Provincial Mennonite Brethren Conference, came alongside us and invited us to be part of their commitment to ministering and serving among people at the margins. And so we've been commissioned and blessed by Eastview and continue to the work that we've started and focus on growing this unique community as a church community. It's a different looking sort of church, to be sure, but it is unabashedly a church community. And so we've been going around connecting with churches simply to say, this is what we're doing. And the story of how, you know, was there a connection into, or like I said, the story of how the idea of it even was birthed while we were here, it's a longer story, which we can talk about some other time maybe. But to say this is a way that God is moving beautifully, I believe, in people's lives. Trying to take seriously that Scripture calls God's people to care for the least of these in our world. And so we want to take that seriously, not simply by providing them charity, but to talk about what it means to break out of these cycles and be part of finding renewed hope and renewed purpose in life. So it's something to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is who we are. And if it's something you would like to join us in prayer, we'd love that. And if you want to talk more, we can talk more between mouthfuls at the potluck. Ultimately, of course, we believe that God... that the church needs to represent God's desire for all people. And so we've gone out and are opening doors for the least of these to hear of a Savior who loves them. So thanks. And again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share that with you today. Because the truth is, when you read about being God's people, you very quickly learn that part of being God's people, that there is a sending, that there is a going, that there is a following. I've decided to follow Jesus. I haven't just decided to believe in Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. There's a going that's involved. You very quickly discover that as God's people, we exist not for the well-being of ourselves, but to be part of God's reconciling work in the whole world. The invitation is to follow Jesus. And we live to proclaim this message of reconciliation. So for all the things that we can talk about what the church is, it's all moot if the church does not go, if the church does not follow. Right? Jesus says it in Matthew 28:19-21. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Go, therefore, and make disciples. We could read it as you are going, make disciples. Going is assumed. It's part of what a disciple of Jesus is. There is movement in the life of a student, of a disciple. And then in Acts 1, verse 8, it says too, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We get this idea that the Spirit energizes people to follow, to give witness to Jesus, to bring this message of hope, love, grace, and reconciliation, not just to where you are, but to be beyond that, to the ends of the earth. How will people hear if we don't? Be the church is to be going. And I want to talk a little bit more about that this morning, but I want to use two passages of Scripture that talk about that. And I want to use one story from our community downtown at 188. And I want to use these as a way of understanding that going is both physically following Jesus, but there's also a following. There's movement in our lives that needs to take place as well. So when we say yes to Jesus, when we say yes, I have decided to follow Jesus, there's a going towards something, a moving towards something, which also just by necessity means I'm moving away from something within my own life. So the first passage that I'd like to share with you on that is from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4, and it's a familiar passage, the call of Abram, and it says this: Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abram, I want you to go. I want you to go as a blessing for the world. Leave your security and just go. Follow me to the place that I am showing you. In other words, I want you to go. I want you to follow, even though you're not in control. I want you to go. I want you to follow, even though you won't have all the pieces in place. You won't have the route perfectly mapped out. I want you to go. But I promise, I promise, I promise that I will take care of you. Within the call for the people of God, for the church to go, to follow, is the promise of God's care, is the promise of God's provision. The interesting thing about Abraham, is that he's asked to follow, he's asked to go without all the moral boundaries of religion, right? It hasn't really formally been set up at that point. They don't have the law. That the law hasn't been given. All these religious parameters that we set up haven't been put in place. The word to Abram was simple. I want you to go, not based on can you follow some kind of moral religious parameters, because sometimes those are more about what I can do. Am I doing the right thing as opposed to what God's doing? No, the word is simple. I want you to go. It's based on trust. It's based on faith. It's based on this relationship. Do you trust me? Kind of what God's asking is, do you trust me that I'm going to take care of you? That you don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't need to be plagued with anxiety. Abram, do you trust me enough to go? And Abram goes. Not because he knows the rules, but because he believes that God is going to take care of him. Now, does he always believe it perfectly? Certainly no. Certainly no. But see, that's I think, what part of going is. There's this faith that believes that God is going to take care of me, as opposed to a fear that says, I can't go. A fear that says, I can't either go somewhere that I feel uncomfortable, or I can't go somewhere in my own life that I don't want to let go of certain things. Fear causes us to value or even worship security, more than the goodness of God, more than the care of God, more than the provisions of God. But the people of God are called to go into places, to be with people without fear. They're called to go into different and hard kinds of places. They're called to be with people that others maybe don't want to be with because it's complicated and messy, and I don't know what's going to happen to me, and I might get something on me. We're called to go into those places without fear. Because God has promised, he says, I'm going to deal with the things, I'm going to deal, those things that you fear, I'm going to deal with those things. So I want you to go. The question is, do we believe it? Do we trust it? Do we trust it? And it's not only physically going, but it's also a moving away within our own lives, that there are habits and addictions and those kinds of things that we feel bring some sense of comfort and safety to our life, right? It's that irony of an addiction, that you go to it. An addiction isn't only an addiction because it feels good, and that can be whether it's alcohol or some kind of drug use or whether it's shopping or eating or anything like that, right? We do it because it actually makes us feel a little bit good. And there's some comfort and security in that. And it's this sense, are you willing to move away from some of those things and trust that God is going to take care of you? It's easy to push down these things in our lives. Say, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to repress it. I'm going to pretend. I'm going to ignore. But no, the call to follow is also to say, I have to move away from things in my own life that are keeping me from growing into the person that God wants me to be. Because the truth is, if we don't grow as disciples of Jesus if we're not going. We're not growing if we're not going. Didn't realize that rhymed so nicely, but now we know. If we live out of fear, if we decide based on my well-being, if I decide based on what makes me feel secure, it's very, very, very hard to grow as a child of God. And that's what we're called to do, right? Ephesians 4, Paul tells us, I want you to grow up in every way into him who is the head of the church. That is, into Christ. I want you to grow up, Paul keeps saying, particularly in Ephesians. That's the path of discipleship. And when we are physically following Jesus in the way that we live our life, And when we're moving away from those toxic things that we find in our life, we grow. We grow. He says it so beautifully, Paul, too, in Colossians 3, right? Put to death, therefore, anything in you that is earthly, greed, evil deeds, impurities, put those things to death and clothe yourselves with compassion and humility, kindness, and above all, love. It's this beautiful call to be moving in our lives physically, but also within ourselves, not out of fear, not out of self-security, but out of just a faith and a trust that God is taking us somewhere that we're not able to take ourselves. There is a mandate within the disciple of Jesus to be moving, to go. Another passage I want to use is from Jonah chapter 1. Now, the story of Jonah is complicated. There's that whole thing with the fish and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to talk about that. That tends to really get in the way of a bigger story that's going on. Jonah 1, verses 1 to 3 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up against me.' But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." God wants to do something in Nineveh. So Jonah, I want you to go. Why does he want Jonah to go? Because Jonah, that's what you do. Jonah, you're a prophet. And prophets deliver God's word. So Jonah, I want you to deliver my word to the people of Nineveh. That's what you do. That's what you're actually really, really good at it, Jonah. I want you to go and use it for my kingdom. It's going to be challenging because Nineveh is a nasty place. But don't be lazy. Jonah, this is your wheelhouse. This is something I've made you for. So go, Jonah. But Jonah doesn't go. Because he forgets. He forgets it's not about him. And he takes this gift that God has given him and he hoards it. And he keeps it to himself. And he chooses not to go. I think part of the thing about being called to go is that sometimes we can be scared of going because we think, well, God is going to call me to something that's so bizarre and so scary that I don't want to do it. Right? We hear it sometimes. Well, I don't want to go to some weird place and do something that God wants me to, you know, I don't want to, I'm scared of what. It's almost like we think God is like this, I know that you're good at this, but I'm going to call you to something. And you know, Dave, I know you're a pastor. I feel very called to be a pastor. I know you're a pastor, Dave, but I'm going to call you. I'm going to call you to go downtown, and I want you to start a high-performance dance team. That's what I want you to do. That would be scary. That'd be scary for me and everyone else involved. And sometimes we have that sense, right? God's going to call me, and he's going to call me to go do something bizarre and bonk. No. God has made you in a particular way, and he knows how he's made you, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and he calls us to go and use the gifts that he has given us. It can be stretching. Let's not get confused between stretching and outside of who we are. It can be stretching, for sure, but that's how we grow, right? But he says, I'm calling you to go and be who you are. And the call to go is actually a calling to be a fuller, more complete version of yourself. You actually become a fuller part of who you are as a follower of God when you follow that call, that stretching call to go. Because you discover more about who you are, and you discover what God has made you to be and what God has put in you, and you discover more about what faith and trust in God actually looks like. We can be scared of going. But going isn't about calling you into something that's foreign to you. It's about using the gifts. It's about using who God has made you. I want you to go because I'm going to do something through you. So go. And I think it's so important that the church understands itself as being sent, as going. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why I think it's so important. Two reasons that I want to emphasize are, one is that movement is central to being a follower of Jesus. Making a decision, we have decided, good song by the way, making a decision to convert or whatever language you want to use, to follow. This isn't simply cognitive assent to a set of doctrinal statements. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Yes. Okay, good. Check. You're in. No, the call is to follow, right? It's movement in a person's life. It's to move into the new life that God has for us, which means leaving other things behind. And it's hard. I know. It's hard to move out of old things. It's hard to move out of old habits and cycles and relationships and beliefs. And as we move towards God, there's so many things that we have to untangle. There's lots that needs to be taken off. And so we need to be patient with ourselves and with each other. But I just think that too often we learn or we gain knowledge about God, but we don't ever move in our own lives. And so we never end up following. So I know something about God. I know something about Jesus, but I'm not following Jesus. I know info about him, but nothing in my life reflects the life of Jesus as I move. And the people of God we're called not to exist for ourselves. And when a community is focused on itself, that's when the church begins to atrophy. That's when we begin to make up reasons for why we exist. And we miss that God wants all people of the world to be blessed through the church. And so it's so important that we see ourselves as going. And this connects into the second reason why I think it's important that the church sees itself as sent. I think we do a disservice to the kingdom of God when we invite people to follow Jesus, but we aren't moving with them. We're not going with them. We're not helping them to understand what it looks like to follow Jesus. Too often we tell people, we instruct people, but we don't go with people. The church is the place where you learn what it looks like to follow Jesus. I imagine that's what they're doing downstairs with the children. I've never been downstairs with the children, but I imagine that's what they're doing. They're helping them to understand this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. But that can't just be the children that we do that for. It's very important that we do it for the children. But church is the place where we do it for each other, where we learn what it looks like to follow Jesus, where we practice, and sometimes we get it and sometimes we really don't, but we learn with each other. We can't expect people to move out of something old and move into this new life if the church isn't, if we're not willing to go with them. So we're not just going, we're going with. The church is called to go with. Every Tuesday, at 11:30, we have a Bible study, and it's open to everyone on our main floor, and it's been going on for about 5 years. There's a light lunch, and we read through scripture, and we talk about it, and everybody's voice is welcome into it, and it's this beautiful gathering of about 30 people. And there's this group of old guys, because that's what they are, they're old guys. They come every Tuesday, and they love it. They come. Part of the problem, though, is we're downtown, and downtown can be, you have to park, and the city, in Winnipeg, they just raised parking this ridiculous amount, and parking's getting expensive, and sometimes they don't know where to park, and sometimes it's really cold, like it has been, and so they're always wondering, I'm not quite sure, like, should I, it's hassle. They don't say it that way, because they're talking to the pastor, but, it's a hassle, and it's hard for us to get here, and we're kind of wondering if it's worth it. So that's what they were kind of thinking. And then we had this beautiful God moment. We were talking about, what does a person who follows Jesus look like? What does that person look like? And so we were talking that through. And again, this is a real mishmash of people from all over, homeless, people from the neighborhood, people from businesses, people, this old group of church people, and that kind of thing. And this one guy was talking, and he stays at Siloam Mission. That's where he sleeps, he eats, and gets his stuff from there. And he was talking, he says, you know what, we hear what it means that we're supposed to follow Jesus, because if we want to eat, sometimes we have to say, yes, I follow Jesus, and so I'll follow Jesus if it means I get a hot meal. And so we're called into it a lot, but we don't know what it looks like to do it. And then he pointed at them, and it's always beautiful to me. He says, but these guys, because that's where they sit, sorry, not you guys here, because these guys, they know what it looks like to follow Jesus. They've been following Jesus for a long time. They know how to do it, and they're still doing it. And so they help us to see what it looks like to follow Jesus. And it's like, oh, I couldn't plan that any better than if I even tried. And I thought, isn't that just it? That's why we go. Because we're calling people into something that's supposed to change their lives, and yet sometimes we never let them see what that life change is supposed to look like. So how do they know? How do they know? And so he said, these guys, they help us to know what it looks like to follow Jesus. And that's why I love when they're here. So they still come, by the way. They're still coming, even though parking's ridiculous. But that's why we're called to go with patience and with grace and with respect, because people get to see what it looks like to follow Jesus. One last scripture. And it's not that following Jesus is going to be easy. It's challenging. It's stretching. It's hard to go into places. But we go there because God is already at work there. We didn't bring God downtown, finally. God has always been at work there. We're working alongside with what God is doing. But this last scripture, Joshua 1:9, says, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's why we go. Amen. So as we come